In victory or defeat, true fans never quit. Champions are made by the fans. That's why 5-Hour Energy is adding a new limited edition Stand the Fan 5-Hour Energy Shot to their roster. Fuel your team's spirit with a taste as sweet as an overtime win. Packed with an all-star lineup of B vitamins, nutrients, and 230 milligrams of caffeine, it keeps you feeling energized, loud, and proud all game long. Check out 5hourenergy.com to grab your Stand the Fan Shot today.
More crazy jet news came out over the weekend, and I can't wait to hear everybody address this and see what the next move is for Woody and company. Jay Glazer says that there is a divide that just keeps widening between Jets players and Woody Johnson.
All right, so you have two guys that have been fired.
Mm-hmm.
They could be, those are your sources. There you go. I mean, it's one of those two guys, either Joe or Rob, that is talking to him.
Yeah.
And, you know, this is how the game is played. You find the disgruntled guy, the fired guy, ask a few questions, get a few answers. Next thing you know, this is where it all comes from.
You know, there is one other person that these leaks could be coming from.
Aaron Rodgers.
No, Dr. Joe.
Oh, Dr. Joe. Dr. Joe. Okay.
That was Eddie's line. But Aaron Rodgers, of course, as well. But, I mean, so if there's a divide between the owner and the players, I mean, like, you can't really fix that, can you? Like, Woody Johnson's not selling the team. And unless, you know, someone's contract is up at the end of the year, they're going to be here. And also, there was a Athletic report about how Aaron Rodgers wants to play next year, but it doesn't want to be for the Jets, and Woody wouldn't bring him back anyway. I mean, it is. And then also, the other thing that Jay Glazer, the story that he told, is that Woody Johnson shows up, lands his helicopter at Florham Park, and Joe Douglas is standing next to Jeff Ulbrich, and he goes, "Hey, if I get fired in the next 10 minutes, it's nice working with you." And then Woody Johnson pulls him off the field, Joe Douglas, and fires him. I mean, he knew it.
Yeah, he knew it.
I mean, it's just...
I told you, like, you... I think you were the one that said, the last time that Joe Douglas had given an interview, you felt like he was sad. He was down.
Yeah, he sounded it, yeah.
And I think a lot of that had to do with the Robert Saleh firing, which he had no hand in.
Right.
And I don't know if he actually had anything to do with the Hassan Reddick eventual signing.
He didn't, yeah.
I don't know if he had anything to do with the Davante Adams trade.
Yeah, there's also things back all the way in January that was reported that he wanted to give Bryce Huff an offer and had it all ready to go, and then Woody Johnson nixed it.
Well, but what? Like, why is the owner nixing that? Like, did Woody Johnson ever play football?
No. I mean, I'm just like,
I would understand if Jerry Jones does something like that, because Jerry Jones actually played football, you know, was at a high level at Arkansas, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so, like, there's some legitimacy to understanding, like, the game and what goes into the game. I'm not saying Woody doesn't understand the game. He does. Of course he does. Goes to every game. He's financially invested in it. I'm sure he wants to bring a winner to this town, much like Jim Dolan wants to bring a winner, much like Hal Steinbrenner and Steve Cohen want to bring winners. Everybody wants to bring a winner to the town. Doing it is almost impossible. You know, it takes a lot of things to go right.
It's really hard for these guys who are generally in charge of everything in their lives. You know, they've either had success on their own or they've had success, you know, family success, and then they've taken over, much like you've seen with Jim Dolan and Woody Johnson. It's hard for them to keep their hands off of things because that's what they're used to. And it took Jim Dolan a very, very long time to take his hands off of the New York Knicks and hire the right guys and make sure that they ran the organization. And Woody Johnson, he needs to learn this. Now, I've been saying over and over again that if I am a candidate that walks into that facility as a GM or a head coach and Woody Johnson says, you know, I've seen a lot of things out there. People talk about me meddling too much. It's not going to happen. I'm going to let you do your job. I don't believe him at all. I just would not. It's going to be very, very hard for the Jets to get their guy. But I think it's just because he's in charge. He put a lot of money into this thing. He saw it slipping away. He thought, these guys that I hire can't get it done. If you want something done right, I'm going to do it. And he's got no business making the decisions. I mean, that's really the only way I can explain it. And it's the worst trait in an owner in sports is where you hire people to do a job and you don't let them do it.
All right, so let me ask you a question. The Wilf family owns the Minnesota Vikings.
That's right.
And they're from New Jersey. Mm-hmm. They're, I guess, general New Yorkers, tri-state area people, but they own the Vikings. They bought the Vikings. How do you feel like they run the team?
It's great. I mean, they let the guys do their jobs. They're supportive of everything. They built that facility. They built a new stadium. I mean, they took over and did everything that you would want an ownership group to do. And they're so positive. They're around. They're present. And the players love them. If you look at some of these like big wins that they've had during the Wilf tenure, you know, the players are hugging them in the locker room and stuff. I mean, you just see a positive vibe. So yeah, they've done a great job. And as far as I know, I mean, I'm not living out there. They do not meddle. I mean, and you know, Kevin O'Connell and Kwesi Adolfo-Mensah, the GM, do what they want to do because that's what they were hired to do. And then the Wilfs aren't the only ones. I mean, there's a lot of really good owners out there that let their guys do what they're supposed to do.
I would say Clark Hunt.
Yep, for sure.
The thing about him, though, is he's got this great coach that he ended up hiring once he left the Eagles and Andy Reid.
Yeah.
And they went out and got it. They were successful, you know, with Alex Smith as quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Andy knew that he needed a quarterback, and he needed a quarterback that was going to be well-versed in his offensive system, which he was. And they won with him. They just didn't go really far with him. And then they struck gold when they got Patrick Mahomes, who did it again yesterday.
Yeah, wow.
I think the team's bored. I think like the Chiefs are bored. Like they got to wait till the game gets nut cutting time or gets into the playoffs, and all of a sudden they start playing at a different level.
Yeah, I mean there could be something to that, but you would think that they'd want things to be easier, right?
I mean, I don't know. You know, it's like I think they get bored. I really, really think they get bored.
But that defense had no business giving up as many points to the Panthers as they did. That was pretty bad. They had no business doing that. I mean, give credit to the Panthers, by the way, who were the joke of the NFL for the first 6 or 7 weeks.
Yes.
And have won a couple of games and have played better and shown some fight. So that's a team that's at least showing their crazy owner, who's too involved, that they might be going in the right direction a little bit.
Did you see Anthony Richardson was 11 of 28 yesterday?
Yeah, he did. Didn't look like he did against the Jets, did he?
Yeah, it wasn't playing the Jet defense, that's for sure.
Oof. Yeah, another big win for the Lions. They just, these games aren't even close. Let's go to Nick in Brooklyn. What's going on, Nick?
Hey, what's up, Gio? What's up, Boomer?
All righty, Nick, what's happening?
Not much. Boomer, I love you, man. You are the absolute man. I listen to you guys every morning. I don't remember the last time I listened to music going into work. I just wanted to make a point and then a comment. The point I wanted to make is that, Gio, you said that some, and I'm only, you know, backpacking off of what you just said. Some owners should let their GMs make the decisions and be hands off. But I think that Mara is not so far off from Woody. I think that Eli should go to the Hall of Fame in 2025 because without him, we would be so parallel to the Jets organization. We are making all the bad decisions. We are not holding on to the right people. We lost our quarterback and our running back, and we held on to the quarterback for this running back that just did 266 yards on the ground.
Yeah, I know, and I know it sounds crazy, Nick, to keep going back to the Saquon Barkley thing, but you know, there's guys in certain situations are going to thrive. Saquon Barkley was here for a really long time, and he didn't play like this. You know, and they were.
Well, he played good. I mean,
but he didn't play like this.
Yeah, but he didn't have the offense around him,
right?
That he has. Like, he has an offensive line. He's got a quarterback that can move around and make plays and make secondary plays, and he's got wide receivers that are top end wide receivers. So now he's a part of. He's like the Christian McCaffrey was for the 49ers.
Yeah, right. And sometimes
he's the piece that was added.
Right. Right. Exactly. Yes. And sometimes these guys, you know, these running backs that are dual threats and catch the ball, and like Christian McCaffrey, Saquon Barkley become the most important players on teams. It's rare. That's why you see so many NFL GMs let these running backs go. I mean, we've talked about Joe Mixon and Derrick Henry and Aaron Jones and all these other guys going to different places, and then you get a couple of special guys like McCaffrey and Barkley. Now, as far as Woody Johnson and John Mara, you know, John Mara has been at the helm here for some just miserable seasons, and he's made some terrible hires. But if you were to believe that everything you saw on off-season Hard Knocks was the way things really go, you could see the difference. You know, John Mara walks in, he gives his opinion, and then the guys do what they feel is right, and then he has their back. Like, he didn't want Saquon to go anywhere. He also was, you know, nervous about trading a bunch of picks to get up to select a quarterback. It reminds me a lot of 2004, but he didn't, at least we didn't see him say, do this, do that, do this, or you're not doing that, which is some of the things that we saw from Woody Johnson, or at least has been reported that Woody did to Joe Douglas.
Well, the one thing I will say, you talk about parallel teams and organizations. Since, 2011, the Jets are 80 and 142. That's a 360 win percentages, 7 last place finishes, 9-10 lost seasons, 1 winning season, 0, 5 head coaches at a 49-62 home record. Okay. So that's since 2011. Since 2012, the Giants are 78-127. That's a 380 win percentage. They have 3 last place finishes, 8-10 loss seasons, 3 winning seasons, 2 playoff appearances, 6 head coaches, and they are 44-58-1 at home. That's parallel.
Yep. 2 miserable organizations sharing an ugly stadium.
And since 2017, they both only have 39 wins. The Jets have 87 losses. The Giants have 86 losses and a tie. I mean, like, I don't know. I you know, and the guys that have come through here, they're good coaches. They're good people. They're solid football men, just for whatever reason. And there's probably a myriad of them that we don't see. They have been handcuffed as coaches.